It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. And this week it's Vanderbilt time, largely because Missouri plays Vanderbilt in basketball. But we've also got a little bit of news. Hey, we try to keep up with the SEC in football all offseason, and a lot of stuff happening down in Nashville. We're talking to Chris Lee, VandySports.com, this week. Chris, how you doing, man?
Excellent. Been a busy, busy week. I almost forgot that basketball even existed after all this coaching search stuff. It's a crazy world. You've been there before.
Well, hey, actually, I have never been there before with a football coaching search. But if you forgot basketball existed, frankly, you just joined almost everybody else outside of Lexington, Kentucky in the SEC, it seems like. And frankly, let's start there, you know, because there's a lot of talk among Missouri fans. Why is enthusiasm down for Missouri basketball this year? And there's theories. They've got a bunch of transfers. Nobody knows what to think about this team. But a lot of people wonder if it just isn't, hey, when your neighbors care less about something, you care less about something. I mean, can basketball – why is it that in this league – because this has been a good league at times. Most programs have had runs that should get people excited. Do SEC fans get excited about basketball, or do they just not get excited?
You know, I think it's a multifaceted answer, Gabe. I think if you look back, you know, the game of college basketball has slowly declined for a long time, and I think it's affected everything. Now, I think the rules changes are going to make it better. But sometimes it takes a while to get that momentum back. And it's also coinciding with a run in the league where really the last 4 or 5 years it's been down. And I can't figure out why. I mean, maybe it's just the fact that the SEC is emerging more and more as the preeminent football conference, whether it's, you know, whereas a few years ago it might have been the SEC or the Big 12. 10 years ago it might have been the SEC or the Big 10. Now everybody knows who's king. I don't know if resources have just shifted over there. So much stuff is on TV now that I'm sure that's affected attendance. Maybe it's just that there's so much competition for the fans' entertainment dollar that a lot of that attention goes to football. I mean, I'm just kind of flying in the dark here, but the league has had a decline on floor that I can't really explain the last few years. You know, Kentucky has kind of reemerged as sometimes an elite team. I don't know what they are this year. You know, last year was a year they didn't make the tournament. You know, Vandy's gone down a couple of years. Missouri's kind of resurged a little bit, you know. And Florida's dropped off from those national title years. But I look and there's so many just bad programs in the SEC. You know, Auburn, Georgia's not very good. Mississippi State's awful right now. I just think that it's, you know, maybe the bottom end is dragging things down to where, you know, if you beat one of those teams, you don't really feel like you've accomplished something as compared to a few years ago. I mean, those are just kind of my unfiltered thoughts there, but certainly it's not what it once was.
Where is enthusiasm at Vanderbilt? I mean, this is a team that at times over the last few years has been pretty good, lost a lot of guys to the NBA, and it does coincide, you know, the basketball program being down the last couple of years does coincide with the football program reaching heights we haven't seen for a long, long time. So where's Vandy fans' mindset?
It's way down. I mean, I would say, you know, it used to be that when I grew up going to games as a kid, you know, you'd have 12,000 or 13,000 for Rice. And that declined even, you know, I think, again, you look at TV and the options that people have now, it's gone down to where, you know, they were getting maybe, you know, 8,000, 9,000 for those kind of games. And now they'll have 3,500, 4,000 in the stands for those games. You know, the conference game in Kentucky on Saturday, I think there were as many Kentucky fans in that gym as I've ever seen. I would say it was, you know, 30% to 40% Kentucky. I just think, you know, Kevin Stallings didn't really do much with that talent he had a couple of years ago, which included 3 NBA players on the roster at one time, and John Jenkins, Festus Ezeli, and Jeff Taylor. You know, that bunch combined to win one game in the NCAA tournament in their years there. You know, there were no SEC East titles. There was a conference tournament title where you beat Kentucky, but that's really all the hardware that you had to take home with you. You know, everybody knows they've been rebuilding since then, and you know, the injuries, the suspensions, the dismissals this year have just further kind of eroded their brand. I just think it's the failure of what they couldn't do with all the talent to now everybody going, well, if they did have talent and they couldn't do anything with it, I'm just not excited about what they've got now.
Yeah, now this team, how much different is it than it was a couple weeks ago with leading scorer Eric McClellan now not on the roster?
You know, it's a lot different, but I think it might actually be a better team without McClellan. And that sounds strange because he was their leading scorer, but he made awful decisions. I think his assist turnover ratio was to the negative, or not negative, but at more turnovers than assists. You know, they're a better team right now with Kyle Fuller running the point. McClellan just never really fit as that guy. Now, the problem is they've got seven scholarship players, and one or two of those guys even aren't very good scholarship players at that. I think the mix is a little bit better, but when you're having to play a couple of your starters 40 minutes a night, you know, that's just dangerous ice to skate on.
Yeah, that was not a ringing endorsement then for this game tonight being anything that a lot of people should really want to tune into. But, you know, hey, they pushed Kentucky. Missouri lost to a team at home that might be every bit as bad as Vanderbilt a week ago. I mean, do you see this one being competitive or not?
Yeah, I actually do, as crazy as it sounds. I mean, again, I think they're probably a little better without Fuller. You know, the thing about them, Gabe, is they've been competitive in just about every game. You know, they nearly win. They had a couple of non-conference games that would have been decent wins that they came close to pulling off. You know, they were within striking distance of Kentucky with a couple of minutes left. And you know the talent disparity there, but between those two teams, I know Missouri doesn't have the bigs to pound it on Vandy. Vandy's strength is it's got some guards who can guard you a little bit, and that's where Missouri's strength is. You know, and Memorial Gym can be a tough place to win no matter what. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Vandy hung in there tonight, and I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that Vandy's a better team than Missouri, but you know the better team doesn't always win. Yeah. Crazy stuff happens sometimes, and I think this could be a night where you could see it just because of the way those teams match up.
Last thing on hoops, then we'll get to what your meat and potatoes has been the last couple weeks, but why is that setup so difficult for other teams to come in and handle? I mean, the benches are a different place, but it shouldn't be that hard, should it?
No, I mean, and the thing is, I think it's better when you're on offense sometimes because if you're running the point, you're looking straight at your coach. You're not having to look to the sideline. You know, does Vandy have an advantage? Maybe, because I'm sure Kevin, after 15 years, is a little more used to how to handle the setup. You know, and people say, well, they should move it. They really can't without blocking thousands of fans. And if you get a chance to ever go to that gym, I think that you'll find it's a pretty cool place, and it's a little bit unique. You never design a gym like that again, but just some limitations in the way the building was designed. You know, they basically have to build a new building or cut out thousands of seats, you know, and it's always in the news for those reasons, but it is a pretty cool place to watch a game. And if you're a Missouri fan that you're just kind of a diehard basketball fan, you know, wait till Vandy gets good again and go to a game, because that's kind of on the bucket list of college basketball venues. But to get back to your original question, you know, I guess it's just a different thing. People are creatures of habit. They're not used to it. It's hard for me to say, not having coached a game or anything there, whether it's underrated or overrated, but those are just kind of my thoughts.
All right, we're talking Chris Lee, VandySports.com, and let's get to this. Now, my favorite thing about coaching searches is that anytime there's a coaching search at a major college football program, the traffic at FlightAware.com goes up like tenfold, and I see the flight tracking thread on your message board. We'll get to that in a minute, but before we talk about what Vandy does going forward, you know, you guys had a commentary that was fairly scathing when James Franklin left. I've seen a lot of people refer to the scorched earth policy he is leaving behind, rating Vanderbilt's recruiting class. I covered a not very kind departure in the coaching ranks 3 years ago when Mike Anderson went to Vanderbilt. And a lot of us kind of said, you know, he did a lot of good things here, and he didn't really handle the end very well. Is this sour grapes from people that cover Vandy? Is it James Franklin really didn't do things the right way on the way out the door? What's the story?
Well, I think anytime you get fans that are upset, you know, that's just what fans do. But I'll tell you this, Gabe. I found out some things during the week that indicated to me that James was not being at all truthful with Vanderbilt. And James is the kind of guy, and you see bits and pieces of it, and you don't want to make too big of a judgment, especially when it's a public figure and you're the guy speaking out. You don't want to ever call a guy's character out unless it's absolutely necessary. But when he's telling Penn State 3 and 4 days beforehand that he's leaving, and he's lying to his boss, so he talks about his a good friend and all these things, and look, I get it. Anytime you leave a job, it's an awkward moment. You got to make sure you got your ducks lined up on the other side. But they had a special relationship that he always talked about. You know, I think James owed it to Vanderbilt to be more truthful. I think he had some coaches that were already had a foot out the door, you know, so to speak, while they were still taking Vanderbilt's dollars. You know, and I think that four-day delay or so where he knew he was taking that job, you know, Vanderbilt not only couldn't have a coaching search, but it, you know, works within certain restrictions itself. And, you know, you basically got a staff of guys that are employed by your school that are kind of maybe doing work for some other places. I just think the whole thing was a disaster. He was telling people on that side what they wanted to hear. He was telling people on the Vandy side what they wanted to hear. And the only interest he had in mind was James Franklin's. If you think what we wrote online was hard, some of the stuff that I said on air before he left was even worse because I knew where this thing was headed. Yeah, I was careful not to call names and to stick to facts, but I think the way that he handled it, and then getting two or three commitments the day that he left during the dead period too, was a thing that caught a lot of people's eye. Kids that were committed to Vandy that agreed to follow him to Penn State, that only served kind of to put some more, I guess, force behind the talk that maybe while they were taking a Vandy paycheck, they were doing some work for some other places.
And I don't want to spend too much time on Franklin, but I did have two other questions. Number one, how do you balance the fact that undeniably he did great things for that football program? It's a much better job than it was when he took it versus the guy that now people kind of see leaving. I mean, I said when Mike Anderson left, I said it's going to take a few years, but eventually people are going to understand what he did for this basketball program. We haven't gotten there yet, I think largely because he's so close and Missouri plays him twice a year now. How long will it take Vanderbilt fans to appreciate that, or do they already appreciate it?
Oh, that, trust me, they already appreciate it. I think it's been a very balanced criticism. People are very appreciative of what James did. And look, James is cut from a different cloth. He's half crazy, and I mean that in kind of a complimentary way in some ways. And it took a guy that was half crazy to get it turned around. And if you look, we wrote some editorials early in the week that kind of said the same thing, that the coverage on the whole was pretty balanced. I think people appreciate what James did, but I think the editorial that Mike Rapp wrote at our site, and I think it's free so people can read it, I think it summed it up perfectly. He said James aced everything else, but he flunked the final. And I think a lot of people would have forgiven him if he just hadn't been so duplicitous at the end, especially with a guy that he talked about was one of his closest friends, a guy in David Williams that gave him his start. I think James just owed Vanderbilt a lot more in the end than he gave him in the way that he went out.
How's he going to do at Penn State?
Oh, I think he'll be great. I mean, look, that Vandy team his first year, I didn't think there was any way it would win six games. It not only did that, but it also scared the pants off of some ranked teams, like a top 10 Arkansas team. I mean, I remember looking back, and I think Florida, Georgia, and Arkansas had beaten them by like 130 points the year before he got there. He took all three of those guys to like the final minute the next season. I think what he did was incredible. Nobody in a million years thought that he'd be nine games over 500 after 3 years. I think if you'd said he was going to be nine games under 500 after 3 years, we just said he'd done a great job. I mean, he's a preeminent coach for a reason. I just wish James could kind of get over himself and exercise a little bit more integrity. But I think the thing we find out about these egomaniac coaches sometimes, it's almost a double-edged sword to where if you've got the charismatic side and all the things that he's got, that side almost inevitably comes with deception and all those other things. And it's really rare to find a coach that's got those qualities without the downside that we saw on his way out.
Yeah, you don't get to the point these guys have gotten to without thinking you're pretty good at what you do. There's no question. All right, Vanderbilt going forward. Again, we're talking to Chris Lee, VandySports.com. The names I've seen kind of thrown out, Chad Morris, the offensive coordinator from Clemson, Brian Schottenheimer, and then I think I saw Indianapolis offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton maybe mentioned. Are those three guys in the mix? Is that right?
Yeah, I think those three guys have all interviewed or had interviewed. And did you mention Derek Mason at Stanford?
No.
That's a guy that a lot of people think may end up getting that job because he kind of fits the profile. An African-American head coach, worked very well for them last time. He's also from Stanford, so he's familiar with the private school cell. I think those are four names that have gotten a lot of attention. But I'll tell you what, guys, the way these coaching searches go these days, and look no further than Arkansas, the way that happened last year, you know, Brett Bielema kind of got snuck in through the back door. I know there's some people that have wanted to talk to them, and I don't know the names, but I think there are head coaches at other places. Those things are so sensitive that if stuff gets out, that people have to withdraw their names and act like it never happened before it happened. It's been very secretive, and almost nothing has leaked out the last 24 hours. Is they're in day two of a two-day intensive interview process, and not saying that they won't do some more interviews later, maybe if they need to, but these were the 2 days they've targeted. David Williams and that bunch is really hunkered down. Not much is getting out, and I wonder if there's not a mystery candidate out there that maybe we've not even heard the name of. It will be very interesting when this is over to see who emerges, and if it is a guy that they snuck in that nobody knows about like Arkansas did last year.
Three recruiting weekends left. Vanderbilt has lost about half its guys that were committed when Franklin left. How quickly do they have to get this done?
You know, I think if you're going to err on the side of rushing the process to maybe keep a guy or two, or spending another day or two to get the right guy that's a long-term fit, I think you absolutely err on the side of getting the right guy. And I've pointed this out, too. You know, the next coach may bring in a recruit or two that the previous coach couldn't get to. And as well as Franklin had recruited, this whole job hanging over his head thing of you may go somewhere else got to be a real liability in the recruiting. Butch Jones ate him alive in some spots this year because of that. And I think even Franklin leaving could have a couple of advantages in that regard, where the next guy that comes in and tries to sell vanity, recruits aren't looking at him and saying, hey, are you sure you're going to be there for very much longer?
Yeah, two-pronged question to finish up with you, Chris. First of all, what's the roster look like? I mean, the immediate future for whoever takes this job, can he sustain the 8-9 win level, or can he get better? And then number two, is there a concern that, you know, now that Vandy's up and rolling a little bit, that in 3 or 4 years, you find yourself here again, where you've got a guy who comes in and does it well, and it becomes kind of a stepping stone?
Well, let me hit the last one first. I think it's absolutely a concern, but I think you've got to go get your next guy. And the thing is, they're doing some facilities improvements to the stadium and lots of other stuff. Their stadium is so far behind the rest of the league, it's ridiculous. And they know it. And so the next guy is going to have some ammunition that James didn't have. And I think that's going to help. And remind me the first part one more time, if you don't mind, please.
Just how the roster is. And, I mean, if the next guy can sustain this 8-9, maybe even better win level.
Well, they basically gave themselves 4 out-of-conference wins. I think they've got Temple, UMass, Charleston Southern, and Old Dominion on the schedule next year, which that worked out pretty well for Missouri this year. Although
Sounds like a lot of SEC Network games next year, then.
Exactly. So I think they've kind of built in some wins there. You know, the SEC East is down right now. That may help you a little bit more. You know, the second thing is they've got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. They got all 4 of their secondary starters who were seniors this year that all went out in the UT game. Well, the freshmen came in and did pretty much as well as the starters did. So I think that gives you some hope. You know, also a lot of James Franklin's recruiting classes, which were rated higher than the ones before him, those guys are really going to start playing bigger roles next year. This is when that starts to take effect. I think the question, Gabe, is on offense. You get a new quarterback, you lose maybe the best receiver in the history of the SEC, at least since Don Hutson was at Alabama. I think he's in that discussion. You know, that's how good Jordan Matthews was. I think the offense is where the questions are, which, frankly, is a reason I think a lot of people would like to see them hire Chad Morris from Clemson.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate it, man. I know how busy you guys are. Appreciate you taking a little bit too much time to talk to us. Maybe take a couple hours and watch a little basketball tonight.
Gabe, I've always got time for you, man. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Chris. Have a good one.
You too.
That is Chris Lee, VandySports.com. And I tell you what, folks, I'm fascinated to see what happens. I mean, it's just a program that is better than it's ever been the last 3 years. And was that, how much of that was James Franklin? You know, I think any coach, I don't think you can ever blame a coach for taking a better job. And Penn State's a better job than Vanderbilt. Any coach's goal is to leave a program better than he found it. And no matter how poorly he went out, listen, I said the same things about Mike Anderson. There was an angry period for a few weeks, and for fans that maybe lasts longer than it does for media or people who employ him or people that look around the program. But after a few weeks, you know, you had to look back and go, well, he clearly left this better than he found it. He made it a better job. James Franklin did that for Vanderbilt football. It'd be good for the SEC if they can get a Chad Morris type guy, a Derek Mason, you know, one of these hot names, and that guy can have some success. Be good for the SEC, be good for the SEC East. You know, I go back to that rising tide lifts all boats cliche that we hear, but cliches are cliches because they're true. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen. You know, I'm always dubious about NFL guys, Brian Schottenheimer, Pep Hamilton. I mean, recruiting and being a college football coach is far different than being an NFL football coach. And I know Schottenheimer spent time in college, and I don't know Pep Hamilton's background. I think he has too. But, you know, Chad Morris is the hot name. Somebody's going to hire him, and those don't always work out. But certainly, I think that would be, at least PR-wise, a home run hire for Vanderbilt. Interested to see what happens again. Missouri, Vandy, tip-off just a few hours, 6 o'clock in Nashville. ESPN2 for TV, and we will break that one down. We'll be back next week on the podcast.